Amen. Well, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad we went over those booklets today. Pray reading the Word, right? And the Bible.
Amen.
So those two booklets are were topics we're going to hit tonight. And that Bible one really did a lot of the heavy lifting for the first part of this message. So you're already familiar, which is great. Let's review. Let's go back to, if you got your outlines, let's go back to message one. And read the title. Ready? Christ, the eternal Word of God. Amen. Amen. So Christ is the eternal Word of God. What's John 1:1 say?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
So this Word went through some stages, you could say, okay? And you've probably heard God is processed. He's gone through a process. Well, the Word had to be processed because Christ is the Word. So the Word went through this process too. So the Word was in eternity past. He was with God and he was God. But then he became a man. And if you really stop and think about that fact, that is just mind-blowing in itself. When I first started meeting with the church, the saints in the church life, I went to a college meeting, and they went through a series that went through these different stages of Christ's full ministry. And the first stage is incarnation.
Amen.
The infinite God became a finite man.
Amen.
Okay, that is impossible. That's impossible. He's infinite. He can't be in a man. He can't. But he did, and he is.
Amen.
So, amen. He does the impossible. All right, so that's one thing to keep in mind. And then message two. Let's turn to message two. Ready? Christ, the living Word and the life-giving Spirit. Amen. So the second stage, right? Christ, who we also know is our Redeemer, our Savior, he died accomplishing redemption for our sins, but then he rose up in resurrection as the Spirit.
Amen.
So now the Word is in the Spirit. And so this Spirit, he ascended to God the Father, and he descended into your human spirit. Now he's one with our human spirit. The two spirits are one. So we have to exercise our spirit to contact the Spirit, which is the Word. The Word and the Spirit are one. Okay, so let's go to message three. Just tonight, praise the Lord. Let's read the title there. The Bible, God's written Word. And then let's turn to the end and read the focus. Okay, got it? Christ as God's living Word is defined and embodied in the Bible as God's written Word. Hence, every day we need to exercise our spirit to read, pray, and sing the Word in order to take it into our being for our spiritual nourishment. Amen. So the focus is like the target, right? That's your takeaway. So praise the Lord. Amen. So what's this?
Bible.
Very good. So you've, so far this weekend, you've learned some things. We've talked about some things, so you should know a little bit, right? So this Bible, what is it?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Good. What else?
The Living Word of God.
The Living Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, this Bible, what is this thing?
A book.
A book. Why is it a book? So what do we know about this book, this Bible? It's the Word of God. What else do we know about it? Describe. Very good. Two times. What's that? The truth of life. Good. What do we know about this Bible, this book that we have?
Love story.
It's a love story. Good. Good. Is it short?
It's a little long.
Is it long? Is it really long? Okay. It has 66 books inside of it. Is it broken up in other kind of ways?
Two testaments.
Good. What was that?
Different people wrote it.
How many people did it take to write this? 40 plus? 43? So that's a lot of people to write one thing. And how long did it take them to write it?
About 1,500 years,
over 2,000 years, somewhere in there, right? A long time. How long does it take to write a book? I don't know. If you have, 800 plus, I don't know how many pages. Over 1,500. It's over 2,300 pages. Have you ever read a book that long?
No.
Are there books that long?
Yes.
There are, yeah. Called supernovels, right? So it took a long time to write. It was written by a lot of people. What's it about?
God.
So, oh, good. God's economy. Amen. So what does it say? I mean, okay, it's about God. So what does it just say in here? God? How did that take 2,300 pages to write? Like, what's... Okay, Old Testament. Let's take the Old Testament. What's there?
Pictures. What?
Pictures. What do you mean by pictures?
Just types of stuff.
Types of stuff. What types of stuff?
Tabernacle.
all types. Tabernacle. Okay.
The trees growing.
Okay. Okay.
The law.
In the back.
God's history with man.
Amen.
God's history with man.
Yeah.
So it's the history of God? Or it's the history of man?
Yes.
Both.
Okay, well, where does it start?
In the beginning.
In the beginning. In the beginning with the Word?
Amen. In the beginning, God created.
Which beginning is the beginning? It's the very beginning.
God.
What? Just the beginning. God's the beginning. Amen. So that's right. And what other kind of stories are in that part of the Bible, right? There's histories, there's genealogies, there's wars, there's kings. Is all that God? Is that the living word?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so it has history in it. Does that make it the word of God?
No.
Is God just a bunch of history stories?
No.
Say again?
He's that and more.
But wait, there's more. It's kind of strange if you think about it, because we just said God is eternal. He's infinite. But we have this book which talks about not boiling your kid in its mother's milk and going outside the camp for so many days if you're unclean, and such and such king was good and such king was bad, and so-and-so. Yeah, good. So it took a long time to produce, right? It took a long time to write. It has the Old Testament, also has the New Testament. Who's in the New Testament?
Jesus.
Amen. Who else is there?
Paul,
the disciples. Yes. It's all right. So it took a long time to us to get. So how did we get it? How did we come to have the Bible? People wrote it?
Yeah.
What did you say? Council?
Yeah.
Something?
Yeah.
What's the Council of Nicaea? What is that? They had to compile the Bible.
Yeah.
Why did they have to compile it? It was a bunch of letters. It was a bunch of different writers. Like we said, 30, 40 people took to write it, and it wasn't all in one place all the time, right?
Right.
Had to go through another process. Uh-huh. Okay? And there were councils. Why did they have to have a council?
Canonize.
Yeah. Canonize. What does that mean, Ben?
Determine what is truth and what is not.
Truth. To decide what is truth and what is not. Were there some things that were not included in the Bible?
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of things were that?
The Gnostic Gospels.
So there was other writings. There's other writings. And... Book of Enoch, yeah. There's the Book of Thomas. There's other ones, right? There's some books known as the Apocrypha,
yeah.
Right? So there's other writings. And, Dan mentioned in his message that at the time there were some heresies about the person of Christ. So some people thought some things and some people thought the other things. And so what if those people wrote some things down and brought them and just started spreading them around? They started writing them and started telling everybody about it and started reading them, spreading it around. That could have been really confusing. It could have been really confusing. There could have been stuff that got in there. Maybe they got to the council or they brought it to, you know, some people. Or you read, or maybe they had some really good ideas, some really good godly ideas, and they wrote them down, and they said, hey, this is the word of God. I mean, and they started reading it, and some other people listened and said, oh, that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. You know, maybe somebody wrote down, you can have two wives, you can have three wives. You know, and some people may be like, oh, well, I already have three wives, so it's okay by me, right? So I think God kind of took a risk. He took a risk on man, you could say. And eventually, they compiled these books, and some brothers came together, and they did. They canonized the Bible. That's what that process is called, right? And so when did that happen? Do you happen to know? Anybody? Yeah, I was thinking around 300, 330 AD, something like that.
Around the 4th century.
Around the 4th century, okay. But wait, when was Christ on the earth? Like the 1st century, right? So it took a while. So these writings were there. When was the latest book of the New Testament written? 90 AD. Probably the Gospel of John, right? Yeah, and he was one of the last oldest living apostles, right? He was exiled. And I guess he had some time to reflect. And he saw the situation, and he had a burden to write something. So the ones who wrote the Bible, the genuine Bible, how did they do it? All right, who has a Bible? We're going to read some verses. So let's look at some verses. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but that's okay. How about this half of the room? I won't make you all read all the time. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 21. I was just really appreciating this verse recently.
Amen. 2 Peter 1:21.
Ready? Okay, let's read it. Go. For no prophecy was ever born by the will of man, but men spoke from God while being born by the Holy Spirit. Read those last six words again with being.
Being born by the Holy Spirit.
What does that mean, being born by the Holy Spirit? Well, in short, it means that they didn't do it under their own will or power or energy, but they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. You could say that they were divinely inspired to write words down. Okay. Okay, so I kind of skipped a main verse. We probably ought to hit first, but that's okay. But basically, we're talking about the writers, right? So they were born by the Holy Spirit. And it took us a long time to get this book, is the point. And it seems kind of risky. It had a turbulent history, you could say. But eventually, we have these. You know, maybe this is your favorite book. Maybe you have many Bibles in your home. And there's different translations, even, right? But this book, like you probably read in your booklet, it's been translated into more languages. It's been around for centuries now, eventually. It got into its final form. It's been around the world. It's been read by millions and billions of people, probably. It was the best-selling book forever. It's probably got the longest-standing record if you look at any book ever published in history. Mm-hmm. I don't know the numbers, but some brothers do. So how do you feel about this book? What's your relationship with this book?
God.
I love it. God.
God.
Okay. Yeah. Do you like it?
Yes.
You love it? Is it exciting?
Yes.
It is? The Book of Chronicles? Riveting, you're on the edge of your seat. That's the one, yeah, Leviticus is, yeah, but Chronicles for me, it's just like, okay, all right, already, right? Okay, but not everybody likes this book, right? Was it always easy to get?
No.
Why not? Laws. Roman Catholic Church, so what can you tell me about that? Certain people could only read it.
People couldn't read either.
So that's a couple barriers, right? A cultural barrier, but also like a religious statute. It was locked away. It was not easy to get during the Dark Ages, right? Probably for a long period of time. It took a while for the Bible to get into English too. And for a while, I mean, we talked about, your booklet, the Bible booklet, talked about the different empires that were ruling, and at the time of Christ, who was in charge, who was in power? Roman Empire. Where was, and they talked about the great human image in Daniel, right? Started with the head, and it had different sections. Where was the Roman Empire?
At the feet.
At the feet, it's at the bottom. So it was kind of towards the end, but that was who was in charge. And so you mentioned the Roman Catholic Church. And so basically, they said that they were the church. They were the headquarters, the center of it all. And they decided how it would be handled. And they wouldn't allow it to be translated into other languages, for a time at least. There was like the main language that it was in, and that was like the sacred, you know, allowance for it to be in. And they didn't want it translated to other languages. And you could get in serious trouble. It was prohibited. You couldn't have it in certain places. Certain people couldn't have it. It couldn't be in certain languages. And if you had it, or you possessed it, or you were found reading it, you would be in big trouble. Like, your life is at stake if you had that book. And even today, how is the Bible viewed? A lot of places, not favorably. All right, it's despised in a lot of places. There's at least 50 countries on the earth today that prohibit the Bible. You're not allowed to have it, or it's severely restricted. So different places for different reasons. I don't have to get too specific, but some are religious reasons. Certain religions, they oppose the Bible because of what it says, because of what it reveals in here. we mentioned at the time when Jesus was on the earth, polytheism was very popular. And so when Jesus says, I am the only way to God, I am the way. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one come to the Father except through me. That was very offensive to a lot of people. If Jesus is like, I'm God, and if you have other gods, that's cool too, they would have been like, oh, this Bible's all right. But that's not God's word. It's not God's will. Because he is God. He's the one God. And Jesus is the way and the reality. And so there's political reasons. Anyways, I don't need to get into it. But basically, what the Bible says is opposed and prohibited for what it says. And so the fact that we have this book, the book which you guys just told me is the living Word of God, it reveals God, the eternal one, the unknowable one, the invisible one, and God's economy, which is, what's God's economy? God's plan, yeah. His intention for man. And God's relationship with man, the history of God's relationship with man. It's in this book, which we all have because I've seen you all on your phones.
Yes.
Or at least you have a phone so you can get to it, right? You can have it in any language you want, just about. There's different translations. There's different ways to look at the Bible. Some of it's more interpretive. Some of it's very literal, exactly word for word what was translated. Some of it expands the meaning of certain words into great sentences. If you ever had the Amplified Bible, it's an excellent Bible. The English Standard Version is a very, very good Bible. So this book is the solid, physical, tangible access to the invisible, unknowable God.
Right.
And we have it, and we know where to get it. We know where to find it, okay? So that to me is amazing, okay? So what is your relationship with the Bible? What do we do with it? Okay, we have it, we appreciate it. What do we do with it? Read it.
Amen.
Amen.
Speak it.
Meditate. Amen. Meditate. What does meditate mean? Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Spending time, taking it in to receive it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Muse. Muse upon the word. It's kind of a similar idea, right? You muse upon it. You take something in, and it's like, musing is like if you get a fresh piece of fruit right from the farm, right off the tree, and you, like, imagine it's summertime, and there's this beautiful peach tree growing, and you pick off the most perfect-looking peach ever, and you just take a bite out of that succulent peach, and you just savor all the flavors and the texture and the feeling, and you just enjoy it, and you just appreciate that richness. That's like musing.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do this with the word.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we should read it. We should meditate. We should muse it. What else can we do?
We should memorize.
Memorize. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. If you memorize something, you remember it.
Yeah.
It's in your mind. Why would we want to memorize the Bible? Long-term nourishment. Because if it's in your mind, you can speak the word to yourself.
Right.
You can read the Bible without a Bible.
Right.
You can pray the Bible without having a Bible.
Yeah.
Right? You can speak it to others.
Amen.
Amen. You can share the word. The word is in you, and you put it into somebody else.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You can respond to the enemy again.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
No one can take it from you.
Or
hide it again.
Or what? Hide it?
Or hide it.
Amen. Amen. You hide the word in your heart and it's hidden
in
you forever.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we can memorize it. I just said one of them. We can pray it.
Amen.
You read the booklet today, right? So you all are now experts at prayer reading. Right? We'll talk about that later. What else can you do? Sing. Amen.
Amen.
Sing. We can sing the word. We already sang the word, right?
Amen.
I think in some of the songs there's verses built in, right? Okay, so we can study it. We can learn about it. We can learn the teachings. We can learn the history. And we need to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked a lot about the spirit and exercising our spirit, which is a must. But also we can't belittle knowing the Bible, knowing all the history. This is a history of God's people, which is a what? In the Old Testament, you have pictures.
Ah.
So I was trying to get, recall what you said. Amen. They're pictures. So when you know the history, which is mostly in the Old Testament, it's a picture of a reality of an experience for the New Testament believers. Amen. So we shouldn't despise the knowledge. We need the knowledge. Memorization is like getting it into your mentality, into your mind. So, but once you know it, you can call it back and you can muse on it. You can chew the cud, right? It can be a long-term nourishment to you. Amen. You'll never go hungry if you memorize the word. And a good way to memorize the word is to sing it. If you know a song of the word, when I came into the church life again when I was in college in Atlanta, scripture songs were basically all we sang. And so there's so many verses I even know today because of all those scripture songs, because they're usually short, because it's like a verse or two. They're wonderful. And you can write your own scripture songs. And maybe you will very soon. Amen. So this book is one of a kind. There's no other book that is like the book that you just described. 40 authors, 2,000 years, took at least 300 or that long, as long as it was written, plus a few hundred years to assemble, to compile, to legalize, to get it printed and to go out into the whole world. Basically, it's a book that everyone, okay, well, I guess if it's prohibited, it's not accessible, but theoretically, you know, you can be almost anywhere in the world and have access to the Bible. So it's a miracle that we have the Bible. And through this Bible, we can contact and access the invisible, unknowable God. Amen. We can contact him, we can receive him, we can absorb him.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so let's read a couple more verses. 2 Timothy 3, go there, 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. We'll read all three verses together. Amen. You got it? Amen. And that from a babe you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Amen. You know what we're going to do next, right? All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. All right, very good. So you guys know it. So if you know it, you must know you can sing it in a round. Okay, so let's do, can we do three groups? I'm gonna do three groups, okay. How about the first three rows here? So Ben, back through you three there, group one, and then you six here. You guys all know that song? All right.
No, I don't.
Okay, if you have the words, it's the words of the Bible. It's just the words of the verses 16 and 17. And you'll catch on, and these guys are going to sing really loud.
You can just, sing it, same group, sing with the next two, you start with each group, so they can kind of know.
Yeah, so, and then the rest of you, you five, and then the back row will be group three, right? Okay, so when the first group, all right, I'll explain a little bit, if you haven't done it before. It's verses 16 and 17, and we're going to sing it through twice, and hopefully it won't be a huge mess. 16 and 17, and I think the one word you don't sing is the four before correction, right? For conviction, correction, for instruction in righteousness. I think all the rest is exactly how it's written. So if you have the word, you have the words. Has it always worked out? Okay, so the first, you're going to be the first group. You guys are going to be the second group. Actually, Santi and Lucas, do you know this song? You've heard this? Okay, you join the first group. You join our group two. You're group two and the rest of you are group two. So the second group joins in after you say, all scripture is God breathed, right? And then when they say breathe, you start with all scripture. Make sense? And you guys... we'll be group three, okay? Let's try it. Ready? And a one, and a two. All scripture is God-breathing. All scripture is God-breathing. All scripture is God-breathing. And profitable for teaching, for conviction.
correction, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Every good work. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It was fun, and if you exercised your spirit, it sounded perfect. Right? Amen. I really want to do that because this is very practical.
Yeah.
And the word isn't just studying, it's enjoyable.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right, let's go back to those verses. So 15 says, from a babe you have known the sacred writings. Again, we talked about this Bible. It's physical. There were actual sacred writings. And this is Paul writing to Timothy, who is his younger co-worker. Paul was older, and Timothy was a younger man at that time. And he grew up around believers. Even his grandmother was meeting with the church, right? His grandmother Lois, wasn't it? And it says, from a babe you have known the sacred writings. And so he'd been around. His parents, his grandparents were in the Word. And it says, you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And so when I talked about the process that the Bible went through, at that time, in the New Testament time, the early church, what Bible did they have? Probably just the Old Testament. And I don't know what language that would have been for them. Hebrew? Did they have the Septuagint? I think so, because the Lord quoted it, right?
Yeah.
but they might not have known that, right? Because I think that was one of the more educated languages. Or maybe it's backwards. I don't know. Anyways, so even in the Old Testament, it is wise to make you salvation. But not just salvation, not just, you know, believing in God. Unto salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So when he says salvation in Jesus Christ, he was probably referring to the revelation in the Old Testament. Even the Old Testament reveals Christ. Okay? And then all scripture is God-breathed. God breathed out. He breathed himself out in the Word, and now we can breathe it in through our prayer. And it has all these positive benefits. It convicts us. It exposes us. It corrects us. Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. You could almost look at that as the goal, or the end result. When you have the Word, it can complete the man of God. We should all be men of God, right? Fully equipped. It's the equipping word for every good work. You could look at Ephesians 2 if you want to know what good works are there. Walking in them in Christ Jesus. Okay, so... All right, let's keep going through the outline. How about you all read Roman numeral 1? Christ, the living Word.
He's the written Word. Without the written Word, we are not able to comprehend the living Word.
Okay, who would like to read a verse for me? Or I'll pick someone who has a Bible in their hand. Yes, okay, Luke chapter 24. Verse 27. And then who's next? I need one. 27. 44 and 45, same chapter. Luke 24, 44 and 45. Okay, when you have it, go ahead and read it.
Luke 24, 27.
Correct.
And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them clearly in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Amen. Do you want to read those two verses?
Luke 24, 44, and 45. And he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things written in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms concerning me must be fulfilled. Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures.
Amen. 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 So, the living word. The word is living. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and operative. So we know that the word is living because the word was God and the word became a man. This word is living. It's a living operative word, but it needs the written word. And for the very reasons we just talked about, it was eternal. Even before anything was written, there was the word. So we needed a written word so we could understand God. We could understand what God meant, what God wanted. Amen. And so in this verse, it says, from beginning, from Moses and all the prophets, he clearly explained in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. So all the Old Testament is just about what? Christ. It was about himself. It was about Christ. So even in the Old Testament, we can see the revelation of Christ. And he said, these are my words which I spoke to you. And he spoke these things, and he mentioned all the things written in the law. And he says, then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. Lord Jesus, let's turn that to prayer right now. Lord, open our minds to understand the scriptures. Amen. Amen. Lord, we need our mind opened.
Amen.
Lord, open our minds.
Amen.
We want to understand.
Amen.
Lord, all the scripture concerning yourself. Amen. And then John 5:39, that's the one that says, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life.
Amen.
And it is these that testify concerning me.
Amen.
Amen. It is the scriptures that concern Christ.
Amen.
And who is he talking to? Pharisees. So they knew the word. They should have. And they should have been doing the works of God. But they were too busy, lording over people and judging them for being more righteous. So they knew the word. They said they searched the scriptures. They thought because they searched the scriptures and they knew the letter of the law that that made them righteous. And but they were blinded, right? And then another verse, I don't have it here, but it says, but you're not willing to come to me, right? So when we come to the word, we need to come to the person himself.
Right.
Amen. Okay, A says, the Bible composed of the Old Testament and the New Testament is the complete written divine revelation of God to man. B, the word which is solid and concrete is the embodiment of the mysterious and abstract Christ through the word. Christ has been made solid and tangible.
Amen.
Amen. He was invisible and intangible, but now he's solid and tangible.
Amen.
And he's solid. He's concrete.
Amen.
When we come to the word, who knows what state we're in? Who knows where our mind has been? Or who knows what we've been in? But the word is stable. It's constant. It's solid. You can sink your anchor into the word, the solid, concrete word. Amen. It'll solidify you. It'll stabilize you. It'll ground you, right? Amen. See, in the Old Testament, God spoke in the prophets and men born by the Holy Spirit, right? We read that verse. So that's how the written scripture was produced. The Old Testament gives a portrait and types and prophecies of the wonderful Christ as the coming one. So we said that the Old Testament was about Christ, right? Can somebody tell me a verse or speak to me a verse that reveals Christ? Is there any good examples? If not, we'll tell you some. Can you think of one? No?
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Well, I was going to say in the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah.
In the Old Testament.
Would it be like the seed of the woman will crush the head?
Sure. Amen. The woman would have a seed. Yeah. Yes. She did have a son, right? But he was the true fulfillment of that seed.
And then
yeah.
How about Book of Numbers?
Okay.
It is a snake turned
to. Oh, yes. The bronze serpent. Amen. That revealed him. Yeah. Amen. Isaiah 9:6. What does that say? For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government is upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So there was a child going to be born, and that child was going to be the Eternal Father.
Amen.
Amen. This is the Word of God. Amen. This is the mysterious revelation of God. And then also, in your outline right next to it, 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 14. When your days are fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you, which will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom.
Yeah.
It is he who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Amen.
I will be his father, and he will be my son. So that was spoken to David, right? Spoken about David. And he did have a son, and he did build a physical temple, which is Solomon, right? But that physical kingdom didn't physically last. And here it says, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And it says, it will come forth, the seed will come forth from your body. A physical son is going to come from you and rule eternally. Yeah, this is the revelation of Christ. That's one of the greatest revelations of Christ in the Old Testament. Amen. Okay, we'll keep going. Okay, that was one, two, under C. In the Old Testament, the law was the testimony of God, the revelation of who God is to his people. A law is always a revelation of what kind of person has enacted the law. Think about that. Who's in charge? Who makes the laws? You know, if you're made king tomorrow, what rules, what laws would you change? Maybe no more speed limits. You can text and drive. No, don't do that one. Amen. But the law that was given, and we know that the law, the tablets were given to Moses when he went to God on the mountain, on Mount Sinai. Those laws are a testimony of who God is. And again, going back to that booklet we read today, it was kind of the standard. Those principles were even enacted in man's law in modern times. But it showed that you should honor God and you should honor your fellow man. You should take care of one another. Amen. So the law given in Moses, it was just a portrait of who God is. Okay, B, as the word of God and the testimony of God, the law is a type of Christ as God's word and God's testimony, God's expression. So all the attributes, all the aspects that were reflected in these laws were expressed in Christ's person when he was living on the earth. Amen. D, in the New Testament, God speaks in the Son. All right. And that's Hebrews 1 and 2. I'll just read that to you. God, having spoken of old in many portions and in many ways to the fathers and the prophets, has at the last of these days spoken to us in the Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the universe. So again, everything came into being through him. But how does God speak to us? In the last of these days, he spoke to us in the Son. Actually, this just says in Son, right? Son is his language. He speaks in Son, which really ought to ring true from what we know, because Christ is just the expressed definition of God.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, he speaks in his Son because his Son is just the Word. Amen. So, D1. First, God spoke in the Son as a man in the four Gospels. Then he spoke in the Son as the Spirit through the apostles in Acts through Revelation. So the Gospels are called the Synoptic Gospels. Synoptic, I read, means from the same point of view, synoptic, looking from the same, having the same perspective. As we noted earlier, John is different. You know, the first three Gospels were called the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, but then John was just different, right? But we have a revelation of a person. And this person expressed God. Okay, and then all the epistles was just expounding and revealing everything in the Spirit and regarding the church. And three, the New Testament is focused on a person who is the Son of God. So in all the Bible, there's a focus. Just like we had a focus at the end of this outline, there's a focus in the Bible, and the focus is Christ. Everything is focused in Christ. In the Old Testament, it was just a revelation of who Christ is and many wonderful signs and pictures, but our focus is Christ. And so the same is true when we come to the Word. Our focus is Christ. We come to the person, even when we're studying and memorizing the Word. Okay, Roman numeral 2, let's all read this together. We need to allow the Word of God to dwell in us richly by reading, praying, and singing the Word. Amen. And so this is based on Colossians 3:16. Does anybody know it? Can anybody recite it? Amen. Good. Again, you got it. Say it again louder. You can look it up if you want. Yeah, look it up and then read it to us all. Amen. Yes, there's a song to that one too. I can hear. 3:16. Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking with grace in your hearts to God.
Amen. So at the beginning it says, let the word. Let the word. We have to let it.
Amen.
Let it what?
Let it
dwell.
Amen.
What does it mean, dwell? It means live in. You dwell, you live in. Something that's inanimate, something that doesn't have life, cannot dwell. This water bottle cannot dwell in my refrigerator. Okay, there should not be anything dwelling in my refrigerator. That would be problems. But the word can dwell. The word is, again, the word is living. The word is a person. Dwell in you. Dwell in us richly by reading, praying, and singing the word. So, do you have the word? Amen. Does the word dwell in you? Does it dwell in you richly? Okay. So we need to let the word. We need to let it. How do we let it? By reading, praying, and singing the word, we can let it. We can let it. We can cooperate. That's what let means, right? Active, passive. We're actively exercising to let the word soak in us, saturate us, sink deeply into us. The more you get into the word, it gets into you. You have to let it, okay? All right, point A, let's read that all together.
Reading the Bible is a life necessity.
Amen. Matthew 4:4. What's Matthew 4:4 say?
And shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God.
Amen. The word is our food. Okay, we appreciate the word, but is it a life necessity? It means I need the word to live. I need it to live. This should be the same to us as eating. You know, you need to eat to live. Yeah. Actually, that's not what number one says. Some may think that we can read the Bible only when the Spirit inspires us. However, no healthy person eats food only when he is inspired. Reading the Bible is no difference from eating physical food, for both are life necessities. So eating, we all like eating. We all know a lot about eating. But you can't just do it whenever. And I don't. I do it regularly. I do not miss eating, you know? You don't have to tell me I need to eat, because I will be hungry. I will spontaneously, I need to eat. So I cannot continue. I can't go on. I need to start eating right now. My wife is not completely that way. She will go for a while, and then she'll just be like dizzy and weakened. And I say, well, did you eat lunch? She's like, oh, I didn't eat lunch. And she's like, oh, I've been gone all day. I'm starting to get a headache. I was like, have you drinking any water? And you know, it's a life necessity. It's funny. But if you care about your health, if you want to make a change in your life and at your health, you have to do it regularly and consistently. Consistency is really the key, especially as far as like habits, like having good habits. It has to be consistent. I'll touch on that in the next point. Amen. Let's read number 2 together. We need to daily touch and receive a portion of the Bible regular, even legally. I think this is a word we don't like so much. What?
It's our right.
It's our right? It's all right. Legally, it's a law. Reading the Bible is a law. Did you break the law today? You're about to go to bed. Did you read your Bible? Take them away. We need to be legal. If we're serious with the Lord, we'll be strict with ourselves. You know, Dan mentioned the schedule, and sometimes we have trainings, and so I shouldn't have done the air quotes, but I mean, they can really train you, but there has to be the registration within. You have to give yourself to the training. And if you're serious about changing your life or changing your health, you have to be strict with yourself. You know? You have to be consistent. And I joked earlier about, you know, you read that book, so you're experts at prayer reading. There was a writer who once said, if you want to become an expert, you have to do something for, you know, in any skill, any field. To become an expert, you need to spend 10,000 hours to become an expert. It's loosely based on some research. There's, you know, it's not a hard and fast rule, obviously. But 10,000 hours, how long does it take to spend 10,000 hours on an activity?
Long time.
Long time. For, how's that?
About
10,000 hours. About 10,000 hours. Roughly, give or take, 10,000 hours takes about 10,000 hours. So as a reference point, working full time, you work about 2,000 hours a year. So if you want to make something your full-time job for 5 years, you can reach that 10,000 hours. That varies, right? It's a rough estimate. But to give yourself an idea, if you spent like 4 hours a day, you know, say, you know, you're in school, you've got a job, you try to do something in the evening, you spend 4 hours a day, I did the math earlier, like 14 years or something like that, you know? Yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time. So if we want to become experts at anything, I'm not saying you have to be an expert or I want to become a certified Bible reader or something, but the point is to see a change and to make something part of your life, part of your living, we need to be strict. And this is if it's a life necessity, we can't just say, maybe tomorrow. Because if you say that today, tomorrow, the next day, I'm really going to do it. I'll read twice as much. This strategy does not work. It does not work. But you know what? We're not there yet. We're not experts. And maybe you haven't read the Bible today or the past 5 or 10 days. You just start wherever you're at.
Amen.
The blood is effective every time.
Amen.
Every time. And so you just start. And don't focus on quantity. But you do want to focus on quality. But also, if you want to do this regularly, if you want this to be part of your life, focus on consistency. Even if it's 5 minutes a day. Can you do 5 minutes a day every day? Well, if I said, can you do an hour a day? Once. I can do an hour a day once. I can't do it every day. But 5 minutes. Maybe you can do 5 minutes every day. Anyways, the point is, wherever we are, we just start. Amen. Okay, number 3, we should read the Bible consecutively, not according to our preference or randomly. There's a lot here. And again, we can't just stand on our feelings, or we can't just wait for the inspiration of the Lord. He is real and he is practical. We should be serious and focused in our Bible reading. And we will, if you do this, you will see the benefit.
Amen.
Because remember, we're not just reading to study this, right? We're taking it into us to become our life supply. And just like you eat food, you don't have to understand it. There's a lot of chemicals. There's a lot of chemical reactions and things going on. You don't have to understand your food. But did you enjoy your dinner tonight? The point is receiving it. The point is taking it in. So you may not understand things, but you'll get the benefit. Okay. Amen. B, we can breathe in the word by exercising our spirit to pray, read the word. If we want to receive the Lord's words, we must use our spirits, because his words are spirits.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. John 6:63 is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Amen. So we won't do it now, but take the word. Take it in. Muse on it. Make it your song. Make it your prayer. See, there's no better way to receive the word into our being than by singing the word. The more we sing and psalm the word of God, the more it will sink into the depths of our being.
Amen.
And saturate us.
Amen.
In Ephesians 3, in that section 14 through 17, it says that the Lord may make his home in your heart. How can he practically make his home in our heart? Well, we know that he's the living word, and we know that he's in our spirit. And you put that with Colossians 3:16, let the word dwell in you richly. So if you want the Lord to make his home in your heart, be in the word every day. Pray him into you. He wants a dwelling place. He wants to inhabit us. That means the word wants to be, he wants us to be our home, a home to the word. And it will sink into the depths of your beings and saturate us. Amen. The highest way to enjoy reading the Bible is to sing the words with a spontaneous melody. Singing the word is an excellent way to exercise the spirit. To pray is to exercise the spirit, but to sing is an especially good way to exercise the spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Has anyone done this?
Yes.
Psalm the word with a spontaneous melody?
Yes.
Tried? Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's good. You just start. Just take any verse. Take any verse. Take any verse from this outline. Do it tomorrow morning. Spontaneously sing to the world. Sing to the Lord. Sometimes I'll start singing, I'll realize I'm actually using a tune from a hymn or like another song I know. That's okay. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going. If you have to modify it, modify it. But then mingle the word with your prayers. I know when we pray, read corporately, we tend to repeat words and emphasize words. That's good, but also as good as mingling the word with your prayers.
Amen.
Amen. It's a practice. I didn't focus on anything real deep here, but the point is, we have this word, and it is so precious. It's so precious to us, but it needs to saturate us and sink into us deeply to become our content, to make us the men of God. The more he gets into us, he's speaking forth the new creation in you as he's speaking himself into you. But yes, singing is an especially good way to exercise the spirit, and try it with a spontaneous melody. I was going to have someone demonstrate, but I've been going on long enough. But amen. Do it. The word is enjoyable.
Amen.
It feeds your spirit.
Amen.
Feeds your entire being. Let's read the focus one more time.
Amen.
Christ as God's living word is defined and embodied in the Bible as God's written word. Hence, every day we need to exercise our spirit to read, pray, and sing the word in order to take it into our being for our spiritual nourishment. Amen. Praise the Lord.